You're listening to The Cowboy Pages. Come with me, Christy Crowley, as I travel America in search of cowboy poets and their wisdom. Today's book, Elko, Nevada, Chapter 10, Love for What I Do. My conversation with musician and poet, Bridget Reedy. Quentin Crisp once said, "The young have always had the same problem, how to rebel and conform at the same time. They have now solved this by defying their parents and copying one another." Well, Mr. Crisp has a darn good point there. I think he never met Bridget Reedy. This young woman was 15 when we sat down to chat, and she's a perfect mixture of womanly intellect and girlish giggles. She defies my stereotype of the typical apathetic adolescent. She's wholly engaged, a perpetual ball of motion and ideas, and seems ready to burst into song or jig at any moment. I wanted to understand what these first 15 years of life had been like for her and what shaped this dynamic girl in motion.
I'd love to know about your home, where you live, what that landscape is.
Completely. I've grown up in the Rockies. I've grown up in the mountains with horses and dogs my whole life. And I love the winters. The people get so upset about snow. They're always, "Oh, I have to shovel my driveway. Oh, it's..." I always ask, what don't you like about it? Nobody can ever give me a good answer. It'll just repeat the "I don't like it" comment. Yeah. It's so beautiful. I love everything becomes beautiful. It's quiet. It's the trees get the snow on them, the feet and feet of snow. Mm-hmm. And that's what the song that we just did there, the When the Snow Flies, is about our love of that, the Montana winters.
So you're in Montana?
Yes.
Okay. And what happens where you live? Are you on a ranch?
Yes, we lease a ranch, and we have 4 horses, and we hay our meadow.
And how long have you been riding horses?
Forever. One of my earliest memories was in front of the saddle with Dad.
Hmm. And is your family a long-time ranching family? Is this something that's come?
We are pretty recent ranching family.
Really?
I was completely born into it, but Mom and Dad came to the West from out of the West.
Do you have any sense of why they might want to do that? What led them to that? Because that's a pretty bold choice, yeah?
It's amazing. I think the West and Montana in particular, but also, especially a few years ago, Colorado, is a place where beauty and art and artists and musicians can still thrive, can still find inspiration and create.
Mm-hmm.
And for people like Dad, coming out of a very not that culture, it was a beautiful place with diversity still, and a rich, interesting, different culture that is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I've loved growing up in it. I've loved it from the very beginning. When I was really little, Dad strived to try to find me good cowboy clothes. I was in a hat at 2 that I wore till I was 8. I've always loved to dress nicely. It's all thanks to him. He's dressed me my whole life. I'll wear good boots, a good hat, you know. It's important. It's a respect for who you're talking with, who you're with. If you're riding a horse, it's respect for the animal that you're riding.
So just a sidebar about horses a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you have a horse that you have a real partnership with? Do you have a particular horse that you...
I have what I call my horse, is Splash. She's a black and white paint mare. And she's really funny. She's an easy keeper, and she's the furriest horse. It's like in the middle of winter, you'll go out. I love to just take my glove off and just feel the horse hair, because it smells so beautiful in the winter when the sun has been on it. They sit in the sun, they point their faces towards the sun and soak it all up. And I'll just lay my cheek on their fur, and I feel like completely bonded with them, with that amazing heart. But my horse, you put your hand in there, you leave a handprint. She has such deep, fuzzy hair.
Wow. And you said she's an easy keeper.
That's an easy keeper, meaning that she eats and she doesn't lose it. She can be borderline fat occasionally, but, you know, I'm not going to say anything. I'm sorry, Splash, but occasionally she does get a little bit fat. But that's actually, it's better than the other way around. You want a horse that'll keep their food well, you know, to be able to eat and not lose it immediately, because it's good over the winter.
I like that phrase, easy keeper. Yeah, it's a good one. We could use a few more easy keepers in our life, I think. So tell me a little bit about your family. You have siblings?
Yes, I have one brother, and he's 10 years old, and I love him. His name's Johnny, and he plays guitar. He's getting really, really good, too. It's so fun. Just this last year especially, it's been sort of a dream come true, sort of just like watching it unfold, that now I can be jamming with someone and say, hey, Johnny, come up and do this one with me. He'll get a guitar he's never played before, and he'll just completely nail it.
So there's the two of you.
Yeah.
Is that true?
And then Maggie, our little dog, which does pretty much count as another sibling.
And does Maggie work with you? Is she a working dog, or
no,
she's a
pet? No, we don't. She tries to work as much as she can. We don't necessarily have anything for her to herd at the moment. So she makes it her mission to herd anything that seems disorganized.
Perhaps like the two of you.
Yes. She doesn't herd us as much as you would think, but the horses she will try to herd. But birds she'll herd too, like songbirds, chickadees that fly around our house. She will focus on one and move it from tree to tree, barking at it and running around. It's crazy. She's herding the birds.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, because you're in school now.
Mm-hmm, I'm homeschooled.
You're homeschooled. Tell me a little bit about that experience, because it's very different from mine.
Yes. I have been homeschooled from the get-go. And I love, one of my favorite parts is the flexibility.
Mm-hmm.
That it makes it so that I can come and do something like Elko. I can travel. I can go outside in the middle of the day. If it's a beautiful morning, I don't need to sit inside and do my work. I can go out and we'll do the school later. It's exceptionally flexible, especially the way that we do it. But I don't lose anything also. Because we don't do like summer break. We do school through the summer. We fit it in all over the place. And actually, I wrote a poem about homeschool. Would you like me to do it?
I would love to hear it.
I hear the door open. Boots sound on the floor. A potential respite from the excruciating bore of the math I've been doing. For an eternity. Or more, the beauty outside growing harder to ignore. Now don't get me wrong, algebra's fun and all, but nothing compared to a ride in the fall. Pack up my books and file them away, run down to the trailer pressed freshly stacked hay. My horse is there waiting, saddled up, ready to ride. Dad had prepared her as a sweet surprise. Swing in the saddle, ready to go. They're feeling their oats after that first snow. Lope in the meadow through stubble and leaves, splashing through the ditch, enjoying the breeze, counting our hoofbeats, measuring our stride, round bale circumference, diameter times pi. Pi. X amount of cattle equals 20 bales of hay. Somehow that math creeps in anyway. But there lies the secret to my homeschool success. School from the saddle is simply the best.
Lovely. That's great. That's
so
great.
Fun.
Two things that come to mind.
Yeah.
I it's interesting to me that you say that you feel like you don't miss out on anything not going to a big, big school.
I don't, because I think some people would be worried that I don't have enough, I don't talk to enough people, or I don't have enough friends or something, but I am, as you might have noticed, very talkative. And because of being brought up in the musical world, in the poetry world, I'm going places. I'm talking to people. I'm performing. I love to share. That's why one of my favorite parts of being a musician and a performer. It's a quick way to connect to lots and lots of people, no matter where they're from or what they do or who they are. Music and poetry can cut through a lot of stuff that keep people apart and get right to that center immediately. And it also, it's a passport. You know, you can not speak the same language as somebody. You can travel all over the world. Music is a language. You can play music with anybody from anywhere and it'll sound good. You can talk to each other through music.
Mm-hmm. What about meeting people in your immediate peer group? Do you find that you tend to kind of hang out with people?
Well, what's funny is that, generally speaking, I prefer adults. Because at least at my age, kids aren't that interesting. They're teenagers. They're doing whatever. They're being teenagers. I feel like an old crotchety guy talking about teenagers right now. But they are. They're interested in themselves. They're going through weird phases. It's like, since I was 4 years old, I was determined not to do that. And there are a couple very sweet people. I have some friends in Montana, but everything's spread out in Montana. My nearest friend is an hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
And my other friend is 5 hours away. And that's close.
So when you want to spend time with that friend, you really have to plan that, right?
Yeah.
It's you plan it.
Completely.
And what do you guys do when you hang out together? What's it?
I think, I have a friend in Bozeman, which is an hour and a half away. And we'll ski, or we'll go and walk, or we'll go to the library. We talk. That's mostly what I like to do. I just like to talk with people.
Yeah. And what about technology in your world? We were talking a little bit about this before
I
came on.
I think technology, I use it as a tool. I don't let it run my life. I don't even own a phone. I have an iPad, but I use it as a tool. I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. I have email, and I text with one person. Actually, three people if you count mom and dad. And But I write a lot on my iPad. Mm-hmm. I'm writing a novel that I'm in my second draft of right now.
Wow.
And it's a way to document things also. Like, I take pictures of my artwork because I draw and I paint and do a whole bunch, do lino cuts and stuff. I'm able to take pictures. It's a way to kind of share things. Mm-hmm. But besides that, if I had the choice between sitting and playing video games and going outside for a hike, I would take the going outside.
So obviously you're not immune to the larger world and your peer group, right?
No, look at them with an open heart. I don't just shut them out. Like, right. I have a cousin that lives in Ohio, and we're truly a couple days apart in age. She's gone through 5 iPhones. She's my connection to whatever that kind of city school version of it is.
Yeah.
And she'll show me whatever the music that she likes. She'll play it for me. And I won't go, no, I don't like that. That's not what I do. I look at it with an open heart, and I try to pick out the little things that I find are interesting.
There is, I think, you know, I'm a little bit older than you are. I'm quite a bit older than you are. You know, as I work with teenagers in one of my jobs, and it's really interesting to me to see how kind of plugged in they are with all of their technology.
Yeah, it's sad.
And how sort of me focused it is, which you mentioned earlier.
It's like instant gratification. It's like that. It's like a rat going to press the button. You know, you want whatever that instant gratification is so badly. And I know, because the little bit that I've experienced. You want that. You want them to text back that instant. You want to know what people are doing. If you get into it, it's kind of like a drug. And I think not just teenagers, but people in general, and adults too, you'll see them walking down the street. They're in their own little bubble.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking down at their device. And I like people. I like talking to people.
So I see this all the time. I ride the BART train, which is kind of like the subway in San Francisco, and the train will be packed. You know, it'll be just, I mean, people up against each other, and everybody is down looking at their phone.
Yep.
So there's this really weird juxtaposition of total proximity and congestion
and complete isolation.
And it's very disturbing, and in a sense, our need to be so connected is actually very isolated.
And, you know, yeah, exactly. I feel exactly the same way, that you're not more connected. Facebook friends aren't actual. Like, they don't even take the time to press the like button half the time. I mean, how much effort does it take? You move your finger and press it.
So if we're in our city life stuck in these phones and these computers, and we're looking for this kind of instant gratification. What gives you a sense of gratification in your day to day?
I think for me, and this is probably pretty specific, but I like to have something to show for a day. Like, I love to be able to sit down in the morning and draw a picture, and I love to go and I'll play a tune, I'll write a song, or just play with dad or play with my brother. Or go out and build a fort or something. I love to feel like I've really done something. The days that I just sit around in the house, even if I've been doing generally good, I've not done no harm, that I haven't really done anything, I don't feel especially satisfied. I like to feel like I've done something.
There it is. Productivity. What if we all measured our day by the tangible things we produced? Food, tools, art. A smile. So much of my day revolves around attempting to produce things I don't see, mainly profit for a company that is not mine. Perhaps that's why there are so many days that do feel empty and work that feels rather pointless. I recently read stress is what you get when you work hard for something you don't care about. Passion is what you get when you work hard for something you do. Bridget Reedy is onto something here, I think. She's found her passion, and while the things for which she's passionate about will no doubt change over her lifetime, her longing for that feeling of productivity and doing more than just no harm, that's a muscle I think she'll flex forever. I suppose it's cliche to say, but Bridget's curiosity, her engagement, her willingness, and her open heart make me hopeful. Maybe it's time to consider Bridget Reedy for president. I'm thankful that she's reassured me that youth is not always wasted on the young, and that we teach our babies the values they carry with them for a lifetime. I'm thankful to her for reminding me of this, and I'm thankful to you for listening. To learn more about our show, Cowboy Poets, or to see pictures of my travels, visit thecowboypages.com.